There's a pretty dramatic entrance in the new Marvel movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp. No big action, just music and the sound of footsteps. Powerful footsteps. Marching into view is an actor the camera and fans can't get enough of. Here's Aisha Roscoe with an introduction.
That actor is Jonathan Majors, and boy, has he arrived. He hit the big screen in a small film, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, just a few years ago. Then came roles in HBO's Lovecraft Country and Spike Lee's The Five Bloods. And now, at 33, Jonathan Majors, that face, that talent, those muscles, is everywhere. He's in Ebony in an epic photo shoot wearing flamingo pink. And yeah, there's that Marvel movie. There's also a drama fresh out of the Sundance Film Festival called Magazine Dreams. Critics are already talking up Majors' performance for an Oscar next year. And hitting theaters this week, Jonathan Majors goes head-to-head with Michael B. Jordan as a boxer fighting for his shot in Creed 3.
If Apollo Creed could take a chance on some underdog, why can't you?
And despite all his cred, when we sat down to talk, Jonathan Majors said he's still very much an underdog, a kid from Texas who never set out to be a star.
I just wanted to be an actor, you know. I had a moment when I was younger, you know, and I saw Broadway for the first time, and no, I was 21, I guess. I saw Mary Stuart. I got so sad when I walked out because I had spent all my money, and I felt I had missed out on so much. You know what I mean?
You know, like what? Like what did you feel?
Well,
like
that experience that I had, the catharsis I had, you know, mm-hmm. being in space, looking at those wonderful actresses, you know, to that wonderful story, I was blown away by it. And I thought, damn, you know, that could have happened 5 years ago. Mm. Acting is the only thing that's never abandoned me. You know what I mean? It's kept me safe.
Like what was like the moment like when acting really came into your life?
Oh, man, I got in trouble. I stayed in trouble. And I was coming out of it. I just got put in a theater class. You know what I mean? The spoken word had always been a big part of my life, whether it be the Bible. My mom's a pastor. We're Southern. And as anyone from the South knows, you know, oration is a big part of our culture. And I listen to my granddaddy tell stories on his couch, and singing, you know, is a big thing. The church. And also living in, you know, the neighbors I lived in, you know, apartment complexes, you know, popping off, everything's this and that, this and that, this and that. Hearing people's, you know, alacrity with language was something that I was like, man, that's wild, you know. And then realizing, oh, I just got that from living. Like, this is my culture. This is how we operate, you know what I mean? And one thing led to another, you know. And then that then led to, you know, me Googling one night, what is the best drama school for grownups? And, you know, the usual suspects came up. Yale was one of them. And I applied my trade to get into that school. And that's been the hustle. You know, that's been the life, not even the hustle.
So let's talk about how you pick your roles. Like, how do you decide this script speaks to me? This is what I want to do.
Okay.
And then do you look at it and go, like, I got some bills I need to pay, so let me do this one.
Nah.
And then you don't look at it like that?
No,
you never did?
No, it's deep.
Really?
It's deep. Yeah,
even like, with your kid, you want to
I've been broke.
You ain't got to talk to me about being broke.
You talk about pressure. That's how I pick a role.
That's how you pick.
Based on pressure. I look at it and I go, oh, that's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit a red zone in that, you know, Magazine Dreams.
Yeah.
You know, can I be a bodybuilder? You look at those images. I remember looking at that, you know, reading the script and then Googling, and I went, this is going to be impossible. This is impossible. You know what I mean? And I was like, hell yeah, let's roll. Same with Creed. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch the Rocky film, you go, man, that's so inspiring.
Yeah.
But then it can be intimidating if you think, oh, you're supposed to do that now. You go, oh, wow. The complexity of a Damian Anderson, the pressure of, you know, folks who have been incarcerated watching that film.
And Damian Anderson is who you play
in Creed 3.
Creed 3,
yeah.
And he is someone who has been incarcerated and wants a shot, right? Tell me more about what drew you to Damian.
Damian Anderson is based off a couple of folk, but for me, the inspiration was really my stepfather. Right? Named Joe Young. Mm-hmm. We used to call him Mighty Joe Young. Used to. I call him Mighty Joe Young. That man, he was incarcerated 15 years before he got to me, you know, and became my stepfather. I understand what that ankle monitor life is like. I understand what the PO coming to the crib is like. I watched him be misunderstood and judged, you know, and his aspirations. Mm-hmm. His deep, deep aspirations for something greater that were put on pause because he was incarcerated.
Did you feel like you misjudged him?
No, I didn't. I always loved him. You know, but it's even more hurtful when you watch someone else do it. Yeah. Say, oh, you don't know him. Uh-huh. With Damon Anderson, you get the opportunity to show that, mm-hmm. right? I get the opportunity to, you know, write a love letter to my stepdad. He's going to be seen in that. He's going to be felt in that.
I mean, in some of these new roles that you did, there's somewhat the villain, right?
Oh,
or
yeah.
the anti-hero.
Oh, yeah.
What is attracting you to that sort of character at this point?
I think it's the exploration of the shadow. There's the hero part of you that's, yes. you know, ooh, yeah, great. But we all have another side of ourselves, and that's yeah. the shadow part. It's the part that has our deepest ambitions, our deepest drives, our deepest wants, you know. Lust is there, greed is there, hate is there. And so to play characters, right, that are already given such pejorative labels, but then to also show the light to that, it adds complexity to our human experience.
You know, you have the villain part of this, but then another common denominator, which you've mentioned, is the physicality, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so in Creed, you play a boxer. Mm. In Magazine Dreams, you play a amateur bodybuilder. Yeah. There is a very specific yeah. idea of saying, okay, I'm going to lean into looking like a bodybuilder.
Listen, I just don't want to get bored with it. Mm. And to transform the body like that, it is a physical, spiritual, and emotional transformation, fully. You know, it's a high mountain to climb because there's a standard of perfection. A bodybuilder looks like that. A boxer moves like that, fights like that, looks like that. That takes work. And there are, you know, 2 o'clock workout sessions where you're just crying on the floor because your abs just feel like they just stopped working, you know. I remember when we were doing Creed. There were days I just couldn't feel my arms.
Oh my gosh.
There were days where, like, I actually can't feel anything. I'm just throwing.
But then how does that feel internally? What makes you not
feel? Because now it's over. Now it's over. And you're like, yeah. And y'all,
so then you feel good about it. But, like, in a moment, why aren't you like, I got to stop. I can't feel my arms, guys.
Dame won't quit.
You okay, he wouldn't quit.
I'm thinking about Joe. I'm thinking about stepdad. Mm-hmm. If you had the opportunity, right, mm-hmm. would you quit? You're there. Would you quit? No, you don't quit.
You probably are not aware of this, but a few days ago you were trending on Twitter.
Yep.
Because some people didn't like that you were wearing pink and ebony and they felt like it wasn't masculine enough.
Yeah.
What do you say to those? I mean, I think they're haters. I think it's toxic.
Well, yeah, I imagine it's the homies, right?
It's all about the emasculation of black men.
I'd just be curious. You know,
what they have to say.
Tell me what masculinity is. It is fluid. You know, you tell me what it is. You know, I mean,
like, what is your definition of masculinity?
It's balanced, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's strength, right? And there's vulnerability. There's awareness. And then there's acknowledgement of ignorance. Doesn't matter, you know, how much you weigh or how much you bench press. That's not the point. I hear my brothers. We fight and claw for every inch of positive news we get. I don't shy away from, you know, this idea of black masculinity. I'm just living my life. I am male. I am black.
Mm. Well, I mean, as a black actor, you are a black actor. Yeah. I'm a black journalist. Sometimes you feel like a pressure, like, or I just speak for myself. Sometimes mm-hmm. you'll feel like a pressure, like, not only do I have to make the right decisions, but I don't want to let, you know, my grandma down
yeah.
or my mama down
yeah.
or have people look at me like,
yeah.
why did that young black woman do what she did? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. why you do that? Mm-hmm. Like a different level of pressure.
There is the responsibility. As far as the folk and homies and family go, you know, my mama and them, like, as long as Terry, which is my mother's name, as long as Terry's happy, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? As long as my little girl Ella's like, go ahead, daddy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't make art and worry about what folks think. You know what I mean? And yet there's a delicate balance, there's a tightrope because you're making it for them. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for them to be entertained and to learn
to be
moved, and to feel.
And be moved.
And
you
to
know
feel
mean?
Something.
And
yes.
when the young homie's looking at me like, oh man, I want to be like Jonathan Majors, you go, cool, man. Because you ain't trying to be like me because I'm trying to be like somebody else. I'm trying to be like Sidney Poitier. I'm trying to be like Denzel Washington. I'm trying to be like Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know? But my objective is, you know, I really believe just do the best you can, you know? It seems so simple. You know, I think when someone told me that when I was 17 years old, I'd be like, get the hell out of my face. You know what I mean? But when it comes down to it, that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan Majors, I appreciate you so much for talking with us. Oh, wow. And it's been a great conversation. Thank you.
Wicked. This has been great. I don't want to leave. This is fabulous.
Thank you
for your time.
Well, I appreciate that. Creed 3 is out this week, and you can watch my extended interview with Jonathan Majors, and he might be somebody that you want to see. Go to youtube.com/NPR podcast.